Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our discussion of a series of manuals that were produced by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, manuals that dealt with the various teachings of Mormon leaders of the past. Beginning with Brigham Young, a manual that came out in 1997, they've gone through a number of these past leaders, though not necessarily in any particular order. I don't know why that is. I really don't have an answer for that, and it doesn't really matter. They still have a few presidents left that have not been discussed. Ezra Taft Benson, for instance, Howard W. Hunter, Gordon B. Hinckley, and we're not even sure what they're going to do with Thomas Monson. They may come out with one on him, even while he's still alive. But anyway, we're looking at some of the topics that we find in all of these manuals, and it's interesting that some of the topics pertinent to the faith of the LDS Church are discussed more than others, and sometimes you're a little bit surprised to find that the ones you thought would be talked about more are not really talked about more. But yesterday's show, we were talking about what Mormons are supposed to believe regarding the leadership in the church. So why don't you continue with some of the quotations that you've discovered in these manuals regarding that topic?
This will be for next year's manual, printed this year, Joseph Fielding Smith, on page 157. He said, "The president of the church holds the keys over all the church. In him is concentrated the power of the priesthood. He holds all the keys of every nature pertaining to the dispensation of the fullness of times. All the keys of former dispensations which have been revealed are vested in him."
Now, that is why whenever we quote a leader of the Mormon church and we have a member of the church disagree with it, they really don't have the authority to disagree with that. They should be getting in line with what those leaders have been talking about. But yet we do find many times that there are individual Mormons that will just kind of blow off what a Mormon leader has said and say, well, that doesn't matter. That's not important to me. Now, I want to bring up something from Orson Pratt. Now, I know this isn't in any of the manuals because Orson Pratt was an apostle in the Mormon church. He probably would have become the third president of the Mormon church had not he had a very strong disagreement with Brigham Young on some issues. And what I'm citing to you was given by Orson Pratt on January 29th, 1860. It was titled A Confessional Discourse. Listen to what Orson Pratt says when it comes to the leadership. "If the prophet of the living God, who is my standard, lays down a principle, whether it be a principle of doctrine, or a principle in philosophy, or a principle in science, or a principle pertaining to anything whatever, it is not for you nor me to argue against it and set up our standard and our views and our judgment in order to make a division in the church of the living God, even if the division goes no further than our own individual selves. We must bow if we would bring about that oneness spoken of in the revelations of God. We must yield to those things, and it is my determination to do so." Now, that promise by Orson Pratt, that was actually as a result of a conflict that he had with Brigham Young. And if I remember correctly, the conflict had to do with his Adam God doctrine. Orson Pratt did not believe that Adam was God and the only God with whom we have to do, nor did he agree with Brigham Young in the idea that God was progressing in knowledge. Disagreed strongly with Brigham Young on that. That got Pratt into a lot of trouble, to where ultimately he had to get up and actually humiliate himself in front of the membership and make the comment that I just stated to you, how we better listen to what the leaders say. The irony of it is, in about 2 months, Orson Pratt would be once again disagreeing with Brigham Young. And a lot of people think that that and some other issues prevented Orson Pratt from becoming the third president of the Mormon Church after Brigham Young died.
Well, you don't see public disagreements like that in today's church. I don't think you would hear Thomas S. Monson saying something bad about Boyd Packer or, you know.
No, they don't do that.
They keep it very quiet.
Oh, absolutely.
Any disagreements they have.
Right. Go on with some more of these statements that deal with the leadership and what Mormons.
Well, I have one more here that would be good. Harold B. Lee, in the book dedicated to him on page 73, a prophet does not become a spiritual leader by studying books about religion, nor does he become one by attending a theological seminary. One becomes a prophet or a religious leader by actual spiritual contacts. The true spiritual expert thus gets his diploma directly from God.
I'm sorry, but while you were saying that, I kept thinking, no, he becomes the prophet because he happens to outlive all his colleagues.
Yeah.
And that's really how he becomes the prophet. He has to outlive everybody else and have the seniority in the Council of the Twelve. That's how they become the president of the church. And I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a few more of, from now I'm going from the top 10, okay. And I'm not going to do the top one. We're going to save that for tomorrow, but let me just give you some of these topics. Prayer was top 10. Trials and temptations. It's an interesting one. I would have never thought trials and temptations, but they put that at as a top 10 as far as the number of times chapters were dedicated to that topic through the different manuals. Witnessing. This is related to sharing one's faith. And so they're into how do you explain Mormonism without having to have the missionaries come over? They emphasize that a lot.
Well, they should, because it was, I think it was David O. McKay that came up with the idea that every member is a missionary.
Yeah.
So every individual in the Mormon church is supposed to, well, at least they're encouraged to, share the Mormon faith with those they come in contact and have the opportunity to do so. They are not necessarily supposed to rely on the missionaries to do that job for them, even though that's often how it happens.
Another top 10 topic was Jesus. Now, I'm glad he made the top 10, and he did.
Oh, that's nice.
He's there. Priesthood, obviously a very important topic. I think we would have guessed that. Revelation and testimony. How does a person receive a revelation, and how to properly give a testimony was emphasized. Temples. I think that's a no-brainer. I think we would have thought of temples being in there. Personal discipline.
Well, when you mention temples, though, it's not necessarily in the details of what goes on inside of
no.
a temple. That's for sure.
Talking about the importance of going, how do you prepare yourself to go to the temple? Those kinds of topics are being talked about in these manuals.
It doesn't prepare them for what could be a possible shock when they go to the temple, that it's not really the Disneyland experience that a lot of people are waiting for. And we've talked about that in the past, especially in the, and I still think one of the best examples is Marlon K. Jensen's daughter, when he admitted to a group of Swedish members in Stockholm back in 2010, how his daughter was in tears after going through the temple for the first time, which is very strange, considering he said that sometimes cultural differences will yield a negative result or a negative experience, and yet she was raised in a Mormon culture, and she had a negative experience.
If you talk to a Mormon, they're going to say, well, the reason we're not going to talk about that, it's sacred. And
they make oaths to not talk about what goes on. And that's why Christian, that would not be a subject you'd want to pry into with a Latter-day Saint. Very few Mormons are willing to talk about the temple at all if they're faithful members.
They also have very high up there would be personal discipline, topics that were imperatives for the Latter-day Saints to improve their personal walk. So very much trying to get them to understand what they need to do. And then, of course, obedience. And I want to spend a little time on that because there were some incredible quotes. We're going to use a lot of these quotes in an update we're doing on our book, Mormonism 101. Some of these are so good. We're going to replace some of the old quotes we have with these, because these are, again, manuals that have been published by the church and supposedly have been looked over by the first presidency.
And I think we should mention that even though the quotes that are now in our edition of Mormonism 101, they're still pertinent quotes. It's just sometimes we find that it's interesting that Mormons will just tend to want to throw away a statement made by their own leader, even though it was written in one of the books that they have actually read. You would think that that leader would have put a lot of thought into what he is going to actually write, but a lot of members, just because it's not an authoritative source, it's not in the standard works or it's not in a manual, will tend to want to dismiss some quotes from their leaders if it goes against what they personally believe. So what we're doing in 101 is we're just putting newer quotes from these manuals, taking away really that excuse away from a Mormon who might think that they have the license to dismiss some of these statements.
And it's just your opinion is what they like to say. So we're doing everything possible to say, hey, we're doing our, we read these manuals. We read the general conference addresses. We're trying to best understand so we can, as outsiders, get a grasp on this religion. As far as obedience goes, Sixth President Joseph F. Smith said this in the manual dedicated to him, page 153, every blessing, privilege, glory, or exaltation is obtained only through obedience to the law upon which the same is promised. If we will abide the law, we will receive the reward, but we can receive it on no other ground. And he also said this on page 244, you must not only believe, but you must obey and do the things that God commands. You must not only do that, but you must give your heart, your affection, and your whole soul with the willing mind to God. You must give up your will to the will of the Father, and you must do all things that he requires at your hands if you will be saved and exalted in his presence.
Now, we don't want to give the impression that as Christians, we don't believe that you should obey, because we certainly do. The difference, of course, between what we hold to as Bible-believing Christians and what the Mormon Church espouses is that this obedience is absolutely necessary if a Mormon hopes to be justified in the eyes of God. That's absolutely essential. They do not hold to the idea that they are justified by their faith and what they believe Jesus may have done for them. They are justified by their actions, their works, and obedience is always tied with the works. We're not saying that as a Christian we should not be obedient. We're not saying that at all.
We like to quote the miracle of forgiveness. Well, I think these manuals are great because Spencer W. Kimball has a lot to say with obedience in the manual. Here's what he says on page 8 of his manual. There are many members of the church who are lax and careless and who continually procrastinate. They live the gospel casually but not devoutly. They have complied with some requirements but are not valiant. They do no major crime but merely fail to do the things required. Things like paying tithing, living the word of wisdom, having family prayers, fasting, attending meetings, serving. Wow. I mean, these are the things that a Mormon is commanded to have. Again, Spencer Kimball says that it's possible to do in this lifetime, and so go out and do it. That's his emphasis throughout his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. And if you read the chapters here, I think you'll see that same idea being stressed.
Now, tomorrow, we're going to finish up this series as we've been going through the various topics that are discussed in these manuals. What was the number one topic addressed in all these manuals? I don't know if it'll surprise you completely, but as we've already mentioned, it wasn't Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to understand some of the basic beliefs of your Mormon neighbors but didn't really know where to begin? Well, starting at 9 in the morning on Saturday, November 9th, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be presenting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at Provo Baptist Church, located in the downtown Provo area. Together, we will examine the Mormon view of the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, salvation, with special emphasis on how to effectively dialogue with Mormon family members, friends, and co-workers. Those in attendance will receive a complimentary set of notes. Now remember, the event is free, though a love offering will be taken to further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry. We will also have a book table available for your convenience. The presentation goes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 9th at Provo Baptist Church, located at 700 West and 100 North. Again, that's 700 West and 100 North, Provo Baptist Church in Provo. We hope to see you there.